Welcome to the newest installment of the Northampton Community Music Center podcast series. And we're talking today with Carolyn Maisel, who is one of the teachers that operates our Young Child program. And today we're going to learn all about the Young Child program. So, Carolyn, why don't you start off just by talking about what the program is, and then I'll ask you questions to fill in.
Okay, well, I hope when you're talking about the Young Child program that you're talking about music together.
That is what I'm talking about.
Okay, good, right. Because that's all I know about.
Okay.
So Music Together is an international program that's been around for about 35 years, and it's research-based on everything that we know about how children learn to be musical. And so it's based on a few tenets. One is that every child is born to be able to learn to be musical. One is that children learn best through play, not formal instruction, and that their most important caregivers, like their parents, grandparents, nannies, whoever it is, are their best role models. And so that's why it's together. Has a few meanings. Music together means the grown-ups and children together. It's also together as a community of learners in the classroom.
And how young do you start them out?
Birth.
Wow.
I know. Often people say, well, they can't do anything. But they're doing a lot. They're taking in, you know, all the information. They're observing people around them participating and engaging with music and movement, whatever we're doing. And I mean, it's like language. You know, you don't say, well, I'm not going to talk to the baby until he can say some words, because, right. You know, it's exactly like that. You just do it. And from that immersion comes a whole lot of learning.
So how do you immerse a 2-week-old child in music?
Well, you sing, you move, you play instruments at home. You can do all those things, plus obviously recordings or, you know, whatever your favorite music is to listen to, you do that.
The favorite music?
To listen to. It doesn't have to be children's music. It's just have a musically rich environment.
So do you play a lot of Mozart in your classes?
I don't.
I've heard people talk about using Mozart with with infants. And
well, that was a thing a long time ago, wasn't it? Play Mozart to the fetus in the womb, and they'll be a musical genius or something. But
right.
I don't think we buy that exactly. But they're certainly hearing it when they're in the womb,
right.
And I mean, I have babies who sleep through class. It's not like they're necessarily awake and looking like, ooh, you know, taking it all in. But it's there, you know, it's going someplace. And also, I mean, the big secret, now here it comes, is it's really the grown-ups who are the students, in the sense that the goal is really to have them see themselves as music makers. I only have them maybe for 45 minutes in a week, right? But they're home all, or in the car or wherever they are all this time to be that music-making model, whether or not they think they can, you know. So I don't care if the baby's asleep or nursing or, you know, whatever. But if the grown-ups, when they start to understand how important it is for them to be engaged and to have, you know, musical conversations with their infants and up, then, you know, half of my job is done.
Right.
In a sense.
So I assume you don't have infants and 3-year-olds in the same class, or do you?
We do, yeah. I mean, Music Together has babies classes. We haven't done that here. I don't think we'd ever have enough in one group. But they do have babies classes. But no, they're mixed ages.
So how many kids would there usually be in one of the classes?
Yeah, so we have to talk before times and now times, right? Pandemic times.
I'm more interested in talking about the program as it is supposed to work if we didn't have a pandemic. You can remember that.
I'm trying to remember. It's been a couple of years. I think we took up to 10 families. Uh-huh. Sometimes it maybe was up to 12. And, you know, sometimes a family has two kids. So that would be the maximum. Mm-hmm. I've had classes as small as 5 families. But an ideal is like 8, 9, uh-huh. 10 families.
And how old? So they start. It could be an infant. How old?
Well, we used to say birth to 5, uh-huh. which it is. But you know, these days, kids are typically going into preschool, 3 years old. We're lucky if we see any of them at age 4. You know, because they start going more. So let's say birth to 4.
So say you have a classroom that's got 8 kids and 6 mm-hmm. parents in it, and it's a 45-minute class. So walk me through what happens during the class.
Okay. It's kind of, there are certain rituals. So every class starts with a hello song, and we sing hello to each child by name. Uh-huh. Every class has a lullaby. Towards the end, it has the goodbye song. So these are all sort of markers, uh-huh. you know, that kids respond really well to routine and ritual. So I always know those things are coming.
Kids respond very well to routine, ritual.
And ritual. So they know what's coming, and that feels good to them.
Okay.
But then in that, there's sort of an arc to the class. So we start with hello, and then we might do a chant or something that's very focused. You know, and then we typically will do something that's like parent-child dyad, where maybe they're facing each other, you know, rocking back and forth, pat a cake, or lots of bouncing and lap games. Not games, but activities. And then we get into standing up and doing some sort of large movement song with dancing or very lightly choreographed movement or... you know, lots of jumping.
Uh-huh.
And then there's always some instrument play or prop. So like rhythm sticks, shaker, eggs, resonator bells. We use parachute, scarves, you know, a variety of things.
What's a parachute?
Parachute, you know, big colored, you know.
You're not jumping off of...
We're not jumping out of airplanes, no. But, you know, everyone's around and holding it. It's like 8 feet across, and you can do a lot of
So like pretending
lifting.
It's a trampoline or something like
not
that.
Not even. It's more, all these props are really to help us feel the rhythm, the movement of a song. So... Mm. If it's a slower song, we might try lifting, you know, the parachute together sort of more slowly. Sometimes it gets wilder and we're really bouncing it fast. Sometimes we go under it. Well, always there are kids going under it, but, you know, just different ways to play with it. Yeah, so instrument play. And then one of the high points of the class is the play-along, where all kinds of instruments come out and put on some music and they just play. Everyone just... plays. No formal instruction. I always say there's no right way or wrong way to play the instruments. It's just about exploring them.
But the instruments are like percussion instruments or bells or something like that, not violins or...
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, tone blocks, tambourine, different kinds of shakers.
So they're just...
Triangles.
They're using these instruments that they're holding to play along with whatever the recorded music is. Or are you playing the music yourself?
No, it's recorded. Uh-huh. It's either a music together song, or at that point I might bring in some just other music that's not in the collection of music together songs.
The Music Together program has a repertoire of music that they typically use.
It does. It has an extensive collection. So there are collections. There are 9 collections plus summer. I was thinking of like fall, winter, spring, but there are people that do that in the summer too. So they have a set number of collections of songs. Each one has a name. Like right now I'm doing drum, which doesn't mean that everything has a drum, but they just name them that way. And they go in an order and they just keep repeating. So every 3 years I'll be teaching the same collection in the fall. And then every 3 years I'll be teaching the same. So it goes, you know, in a cycle. And if a family stays with it, it's really kind of cool because they maybe will say, oh, we started this and she was 6 months old and
right.
I remember these songs. Or now the child is able to engage with the same songs, but obviously they're older.
Right.
And so it's really interesting to, for the parents, of course, and me to see where they are, you know, how different that can be
uh-huh.
based on their age and development.
So what's the repertoire like? What in terms of what kinds of songs they are?
It's a mix of traditional, original songs, often by the guy, one of the founders of Music Together, who's a composer, Ken Gilmartin. And a lot of the original pieces are his, or a lot of the arrangements of songs are his. They're bringing in much more international music. So right now there's a beautiful song from Korea. We've had songs from, you know, in Spanish, Russian.
Uh-huh.
And they also strive to have in every collection a real variety of tonalities. So it's not just all happy major and meters. So duple, triple, but also, you know, things that Dave Brubeck was playing with.
Uh-huh. So they get into some fives
some really
and sevens
fun.
And nines.
Yeah,
okay.
Which grown-ups, you know,
don't understand.
Try to do an activity. Not that I'm trying to explain it, but it's often very hard.
Right.
Like, what? But I always say for your children, that's not going to be hard, right? Because they're hearing it now, and we're playing
right.
with it now, and everything's the same in a way, uh-huh. like, why would that be any harder than that? You know, it's just another thing that I'm hearing.
Could you describe how, like if a child stays with you for 2 or 3 years, how the response changes as what's different about what the kid does in class and how he responds to class?
It's so individual. And I should say, often kids don't do any, don't, and I'm putting air quotes here, don't do anything in class, right? And the parent thinks, what are we doing here?
What are we paying
not
all
doing
this money
anything.
For? We're not doing anything.
You know, but give them a few weeks, and they're coming in and saying, I can't believe it. They're doing everything at home. Or that warm-up that we do, she was doing that while we were having breakfast. You know, so they often, I've heard the analogy of, like, a child coming into class and pressing record, like you do on a tape recorder. And they're just taking it in, even if they don't look like it, because they can be wandering around the room. Nobody's, they're not all sitting with us all the time. But then they go home, and they can press play, you know, and that's where they feel safe to express and to play with the kinds of things they've been hearing. And hopefully, the music in the current collection, which is on a CD or downloadable, hopefully families are playing that at home
uh-huh.
and listening to it in the car, wherever.
Right.
But I can remember a little boy who, I think for like 2.5 years, he was on his nanny's lap, except when the instruments came out for the play-along, and then he would like venture out, get an instrument, and go back. But otherwise, he was just watching.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, at some point he came in and he was much more comfortable participating. It's so individual.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, you might see a child moving a certain way, maybe just rocking when they're little, you know, and you think, okay, that's sort of their, what they call their characteristic gesture. When they hear something, they tend to rock, or they bounce their torso or something like that. So you just kind of watch how the development goes and listen for things like, are they, wow, did I just hear someone match that tone? You know, that we call it the resting tone in Music Together, that tonal center. That tends to be kind of the first place that a child matches pitch. Also the fifth, the dominant. So you kind of hear those things and then maybe hear a little more of it as they develop and you start to see, you know, they've match the beat for a couple of times, and so that might be a sign that they're on their, you know, a point in their rhythm development that they weren't at before. So just that kind of thing.
So the program is designed to get them to match an increasingly difficult things as they get
older.
Well,
the idea is to develop what Music Together calls basic music competence. So the ability to sing in tune and to keep an accurate physical beat. Uh-huh. And with a lot of exposure and a lot of nurturing and a lot of engagement with all of that, that can happen as young as like 3 years old, 3 or 4 years old.
Right.
More typically, it might be 5 or 6 years old. Hopefully by age 9 or so, they've gotten that, because it becomes much harder after that to develop those skills. But so that's kind of the goal. I mean, we know that children can get there and that this program supports that.
Do you see development in parents also? Like the parents are actually learning this language along with their children?
Yes and no. It's so variable. Uh-huh. I mean, I've had parents who were so invested, and they're having just so much fun in class.
More fun than the kids?
Sometimes. No. Just as much. Uh-huh. And they're coming back and able to say, oh, we at home, she did this, and we were singing that, and, you know. And then others who are really there because it's another, you know, fun activity we can do together. Uh-huh. But they're not necessarily thinking of it in terms of music development, you know. And those are the ones who might do it for a session and then take off for a while or don't come back. And third time.
Is that common where people will do a session and then skip it one and then come back?
It goes all over the map, really.
Do you assign some kind of homework to the parents? Or
I wish. Sometimes, I will ingest, say, you know, got homework for you. Uh-huh. Play with this chant and come up with some of your own verses. Or, you know, we do a lot of substitution, like what's another animal we could sing about or chant about, all that kind of stuff. And there are some that lend themselves to, if you wanted to, you could really have fun sort of making up verses.
But it sounds like the program really depends on parents doing this all the same kind of stuff at home with the kid as you're doing
ideally
in class.
So ideally. But I don't have any control.
Right.
I will say what's often fun is that, you know, sometimes you get parents, oftentimes, who are very reticent in class. And understandably so. Like, what is she going to make us do today? You know. So I always say, what happens in this room stays in this room. That's number one. And I don't know. I've been pretty good overall at getting people relaxed and just to be able to have fun. And I've seen some really nice communities develop among some parents.
I imagine it must be hard to get some parents to even be willing to sing at all. Because I know a lot of people who, they might be great musicians, but you can't get them to sing.
Right, and that's absolutely probably, one of the biggest challenges is just do it. We don't care, you know.
Right. What percentage of the parents never sing, would you say?
A small percentage. But I would say, you know, a good percentage I don't really hear very well. But there are always some I've gotten to know well enough. I had some parents who have been with me for years. And I know I can tease them and kind of, you know, get them, poke them a little bit and get them to do a little more. And then model that for other parents, you know, which is important.
Did you have to go through some kind of training to get ready to do
I did.
This? So tell me a little bit about that.
It's a long time ago. I got trained in 2006, so I'm in my 16th year now. It was a 3-day training, and it talked about the philosophy of music together and, excuse me, different techniques, and there were classes to observe and opportunity to lead a song and get feedback. I actually did a refresher teacher training this summer. It was good. I mean, it's basically the same, but they have more research, and I think they're a little tighter in their training, but it's good.
Do you have to be a musician to be a teacher in this?
Define musician.
Somebody who plays an instrument or who sings.
You don't have to play an instrument. I play guitar. I don't use it a lot in class by choice, really. For me, it's a little bit feels like it gets in my way. But I use it sometimes. I always use it for the lullaby, or almost always, and always for the goodbye song, and sometimes other times. But also, really, and trying to model for parents that you don't have to play an instrument.
Right?
You don't have to. And sometimes I'll pull out an instrument like the recorder, which I can figure out how to play some melodies, but I'm not good and I make mistakes. And I'll pull that out for a lullaby. Uh-huh. And I'll mess up, and I'll just say, oops. Uh-huh. It's okay. The world didn't end, and I'm just trying to learn it. You might have an instrument in your closet you haven't touched.
So that might encourage people to actually loosen up a little bit and try something.
Hopefully.
Do you ever use ukulele?
I don't play ukulele.
Actually, if you play guitar, you play ukulele.
Well, I don't know that I play ukulele. A lot of teachers do.
Guitar chord forms? Mm-hmm. Are the same on the ukulele. It's just a different chord. For the high four strings of the guitar, it's a fourth away. So if you play a D chord on the guitar, that's a G on the ukulele. Aye. You should try it sometime. It's really accessible instrument, and it's something that's so small that it would.
Well, that's true.
The kids would probably be interested in it.
I always let the kids at the end of class when we're done. I let them strum, they can take turns with the guitar. And
do you ever have other teachers from the music center come in and talk about their instruments? Or
no, the only one who has played was Capella, who teaches violin, and she's been through music together with two or three of her boys. And so one time in class she tried to play violin for the lullaby, but her little one wasn't really having it. He wanted her attention at that point.
Right.
No, I haven't really done that.
Imagine that some of your students would go on to take instruments at the music center.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
But you don't know how many of them do that.
I don't. I've had a couple parents over the years say that, when their child started an instrument formally, the teacher commented on their ability to keep a beat and to match, hear and match, and would say, oh, I've had a few students from music together, and you can tell.
Right. Well, that's a good thing.
It's a great thing.
It makes you feel like you're doing your job.
Yeah, and when parents ask, they've got a 3-year-old and they want to know about lessons, I mean, I know there's Suzuki, and that I don't probably know enough about it, but I don't tend to encourage formal instruction very young, because it's also, there's a focus issue and just
developmentally. Well, Suzuki doesn't start till about 5, I think.
Is that
six.
Right?
It's maybe 4.
Oh, I was thinking 4. Maybe.
Yeah, I think maybe 4.
Yeah.
But I would imagine a program like this would just could lead right into
Absolutely.
Suzuki training.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you had some kids that just seem to have much more aptitude for music than others? Like, is singing in tune and tapping in tune at the age of 2 instead of...
I haven't had that, no. I've certainly had a few who, by 4 years old, were singing in tune and, showed real physical coordination with the beat, but they all can do something, you know, right. And they'll all get right, somewhere, sure. But it's like...
So even if you had Mozart in your class, it probably wouldn't show until he was 4 years old that there was something really exceptional about
him. I don't know about Mozart, but I guess, yeah.
Okay. So these classes go in a session, you said? How many weeks
it's
is a session?
10.
10 weeks.
10 weeks, yeah.
Do you find that you have ways of customizing the program for NCMC, like you might do something a little bit different than the standard Music Together program, or do you more or less stick to their manual?
I think I more or less stick to it. I don't... Do you have an idea? Something you're thinking about customizing?
No,
I would
just...
Or, yeah.
Some adaptation that you'd like to do to it that other people might not do?
Well, I think we all do that, all teachers, because you have to be comfortable with how you're presenting something. It has to be authentic, you uh-huh. know? So... Like, I might watch videos on the Music Together teacher website of other teachers presenting songs. I think, oh, that looks so great. But then I realize that's not me. I would not feel comfortable being that dramatic or whatever it is. You know, it's just like, that wouldn't work for me. So you make it your own, right? And in each song collection, you know, they're not... You can use songs from other collections or sometimes songs that aren't in any collection, you know.
Right.
And you can create your lesson plan sort of based on a rough template in terms of the arc of a class, but what you put into each spot is up to you.
Uh-huh.
So there's room for making it more your own, but mm-hmm. I don't go too far off the reservation. I want the Music Together police coming after me.
They don't really have Music Together, please.
They don't.
Okay.
I hope. No, they don't.
Have you found that doing this work with kids for all these years has made a difference in your own musicianship and your own guitar playing? Like, can you do things now that you weren't able to do before?
No, I wish. Uh-huh. The only thing that makes that difference is if I practice and practice and practice and
right.
go back to my guitar classes or whatever.
Right. Okay.
No, and for Music Together, I can kind of, whatever skills in guitar I want to bring to it, I can get by.
Right.
You know,
okay.
So that, there are certainly, but honestly, Music Together teachers, such a range of their training. I mean, there are professional singers, you know, there's very average singers like me, there's everyone in between,
mm-hmm.
there's people who are really, you know, fine musicians on some instrument and others who don't play one at all. And
mm-hmm.
so you, but as long as you can sing in
right.
tune
right.
and understand and for me, it's the most important thing. And I think why parents have responded to me is I love being around kids that age. It's like it's one of the only times I feel truly myself, like any guard goes down, because they're so authentic, you know, mm-hmm. they are just who they are. And I find that just
mm-hmm.
allows me to do the same and meet them there.
So you are a three-year-old trapped in a
something like
body.
That. Something like
okay.
that.
All right. Well, I think this has given us a good idea of what you do, and I want to thank you very much for taking the time to answer questions and talk about the program.
You're welcome.